Well, Terry is upset.
Why?
Because I didn't make the list. I didn't make the list. But we're working on it, because I made sure that I mentioned him in my Moran Monday tweet when I noted that he had rocketed to the top of the Moran Monday nominations. Oh, Margaret, go get a net. We've got a Lulu. This is Randall Terry with a message for the heathens. Technically, I guess this would also qualify as prayer meeting Wednesday material. But no way can I let this thing simmer in its own juices for a couple of days. Because when weighing in the balance between fundamentalist religious hate and stupidity versus the moron qualities that attend this jackanapes, moron wins out. I mean, it's not even close. Even if he is informed by the strangeness that is fundamentalism. So, ladies and gentlemen, I give you one of the biggest morons we've had in a while. I give you Randall Terry.
Hello, Jezebel. Hello, TPM Muckraker. Hi, Right Wing Watch. Hello, Huffington Post. I have a message for you. Your eternal souls hang in the balance. Come, come closer. Yes. Look into my eyes. I will testify against you on the day of judgment. My words that you have recorded will testify against you on the day of judgment because you have blood on your hands. You promote murder. You are accomplices to murder. And there's nothing that you can say or do that will change reality. So you go on about your little self-intoxicated, self-deluded business of mocking God and mocking His servants and mocking unborn babies and deluding yourself into thinking that you're somehow serving mankind to help murder mankind. But in the end, you will be brought before the judgment seat of Almighty God. If you die in your sin, you're going to be in deep, deep trouble. But if you will surrender and come to Christ, He will forgive you. That's to my friends at Jezebel and Huffington Post, and TPM Muckraker, and the Young Turks, and Right Wing Watch, and all the rest of you bizarre and absurd bloggers who fight against God and human life.
Thanks to the folks at Right Wing Watch who got a mention on there. Never got a mention. 8 years. 8 years of pointing out the stupidity of freaks like this, and I get, and all the rest of you. Dadgummit! We're not working hard enough, folks. I want a specific mention from Randall Terry. I want to be... there's a passage. There is a passage from one of my favorite historical novels by a guy named Gary Jennings. The novel is called Aztec. And in it, an old man is being abjured to repent his sins. And he looks at the bishop and says, "And if I repent my sins, that means I will go to your Christian heaven?" And the bishop says, "See, yes, that is what that means." And the old man just smiles and remains silent. Anybody want... Just show of hands. I mean, this is just like Romper Room. I can see. I can see you all out there. I can see Benny, and I can see Kath, and I can see E. Kofer, and I can see Jug of Punch. Show of hands. Anybody want to go to heaven with Randall Terry? Yeah, me neither. He's, and by the way, Dr. John in New York also noted, he gets, and I'll rely on people with far more expertise on this than I, or Dr. John, He kind of gets the Gator klaxon ringing, don't he? Little bit. Just, you know, a little bit. I mean, come on, let's hear the intro again. Anybody with a very well-developed gaydar sensors, just tell me.
Hello, Jezebel. Hello, TPM Muckraker. Hi, Right Wing Watch. Hello, Huffington Post. I have a message for you. Your eternal souls hang in the balance. Come closer. Yes.
I wouldn't tap a toe in a men's room within 100 miles of anywhere that guy was. Just say it. He's probably... You know how it works out with these hypocrites, right? Our buddy Ray noting, fighting against God, am I? Powerful man I am. So, no, that wasn't Ray, that was Yoda.
Fighting against God, am I? Powerful man I am.
Or maybe that was Marvin Martian. Our first, can you imagine the hubris that it takes to say that the almighty creator of the universe, in the scheme of which you are less than a single cell on a single armpit hair of, you know, a single jackass. Well, jackasses don't have armpits, do they? But you get the idea. But he's awaiting, because he's going to testify. Oh, testify, brethren! He's going to testify against Right Wing Watch and TPM Muckraker and Jezebel. Hello, Jezebel. Aw, come on, Randall. Testify against me. Won't ya? Pretty please? Nah, as Agnes is fond of saying, Randall, buddy, I'm gonna come to the gates of hell with and tease you inside 'em with ice water. You evil old freak. If there's a hell, Randall, you're going to it, buddy. Oh, without a doubt. Out there, not doing everything that, you know, your savior, what, Jeebus, out there doing everything that he said not to and none of the stuff that he said to do. There ain't nothing in the New Testament, nor Matthew, Mark, Luke, nor John about getting out there and getting all pissy about the fetuses. Not a blessed thing. Or an accursed one, for that matter. Well, then again, if you go back to the Old Testament, there are a few places where... I mean, his own God likes to slaughter babies. Murderers. Then he just sounds so... Yeah. Yeah, he's a real... Yeah, oh, Margaret. As my head writer, David, in Tennessee noted, bless his heart, he still loves them murderous sinners and wants them to have salvation. Isn't he precious? He is. He is. So it's an automatic lead, I think, for... Randall Terry. Even if he didn't specifically condemn me and you, I mean, we are in that whole all the rest thing. But come on, Randall! I know you're listening. You can't resist, you freak. Come on. Give us a mention, buddy. Send us to hell, Randall. As if you had the power. As if the almighty creator of the universe gave a rat's rear end. What you think, if what passes for what goes on in that strange paranoid skull of yours can even be referred to as thinking. Oh, you're a sick one, Randall. A really sick one. You're another one that goes with that story about the... Then again, no, you're not. The story about the guy who stops and buys the paper at the newsstand. Oh, no, the son of a bitch I'm looking for is going to be on the front page. You know, when this guy gets found in his bedroom in a wetsuit with a couple of sex toys in places we won't describe, like, or, you know, some other compromising situation with a dead girl or a live boy, like these fundies have a way of doing, it won't even be page six. It might make the classified. Useless bag of skin, free to whoever will haul it away. So that's our lead nominee for the evening. And you can tell me what you think. Some of the other Moran Monday nominees. How's about, how's about David Coppedge? That's David, Coppedge. David Coppedge is a computer specialist of some sort. And apparently, he may or may not have been a good one. But he was some sort of a computer specialist. I don't even know what that job designation means within the parameters of the Jet Propulsion Laboratory. You know, NASA's Jet Propulsion Laboratory. He worked on the Cassini mission exploring Saturn and the moons of Saturn. But then, like so many weirdo, sick, twisted, creepy fundamentalists, he just couldn't keep his weird-ass cultish religion out of the workplace, and he had to go he unto them and share with them the good news of his fundamentalism. And next thing you know, they're swallowing strychnine and rolling on the floors and speaking in tongues and handling serpents and, whew, glory. He's suing NASA because he says he was discriminated against when he started irritating the living daylights out of his coworkers, trying to convince them that intelligent design is how the world works. Yeah? Intelligent design? I not only have an appendix, but it's on the wrong side of my body. Take your intelligent design, Mr. Coppedge, and stick it where the sun don't shine. There's the Anopheles mosquito, Mr. Coppedge. There's your intelligent design. The various and sundry flies that pass various and sundry diseases. There's your intelligent design, you freaking moron, Mr. Coppedge. Because he'd go to work and he'd pass out DVDs about his intelligent design and carry on about how evolution ain't the truth. We don't know if he's an old Earth or a young Earth intelligent design goober. There's a couple of different schools on intelligent design. And guess what? His coworkers didn't like being Jesused at work. So they complained about him, as they had a right to do. And so he got a written warning saying, please leave your fellow coworkers alone and quit prattling on and on and on about how Adam and Eve rode to church on a damn dinosaur's back. Would you please, Mr. Coppedge, could you do that? Because we got hard work to do. It's hard sending a satellite to freaking Saturn. Hard enough without you sitting there passing out DVDs promoting the Creationism Museum. So he got warned. So big deal. Jet Propulsion Laboratory said, no, we didn't ditch him because he was proselytizing in his workplace. Can you imagine trying to walk around to real, live, honest-to-goodness scientists who understand the science of how planet... This is the JPL. This is the Jet Propulsion Laboratory. This is somewhat... Didn't Carl Sagan have something to do... Billions and billions. Didn't he? And star stuff and all of that. Can you imagine walking around a scientist? Did you know that the Earth is only 6,000 years old? You just look up and you go, oh, shit, here comes David. That looked busy. Hey, Jesus is coming soon. Well, give him a tissue. But no, he was warned. And no, he wouldn't leave his fellow workers alone about it. Yeah, but Jesus wants me to tell him about how there's no such thing as evolution, and all those big dinosaur bones in the earth are just confusements placed in the earth by Satan to confound the unbelievers. It turns out that last year JPL let go 246 employees because of planned budget cuts. You know, if those 245 employees could still be having their jobs doing science at the Jet Propulsion Laboratory, I would be happy for dumbass Mr. Coppedge to still have his, too. Because I like a government that has the money to do science. But he got let go, and another Cassini technician got let go, and those other 244 employees at JPL got let go because the budget had to be cut. What a load of... But nonetheless, because these morons have this constant drumbeat, we're being persecuted, you know, just like when Nero stuck the poles up there and dipped them and turned them into little flaming Q-tips in the Vatican. Just persecuted, just like that. See? And so the Alliance Defense Fund, whose purpose in life is to claim that people are being discriminated against for their religious beliefs, is defending this goober. William Becker is Coppedge's attorney and says that his client was singled out by his bosses because they perceived his belief in intelligent design to be religious. Well, that's only because it is. I mean, Jesus, if the religious weirdos can... Ah, them atheists, that's just another religion, that atheism. Well, intelligent design is another manifestation of religion because you have to have an intelligent designer to have an intelligent design, right? I mean, I know we got a bunch of really intelligent people in this audience, many of whom are actual scientists. How would you feel if every day you went to work and you just kind of had to put your head down or pull the brim of your ball cap down and look like you're really involved in something because you see this one guy coming up who won't shut up about how dinosaurs and people coexisted? No, not him. Mr. Becker, the lawyer, says... Interactions with coworkers led some to label him as a Christian conservative. Yeah, that's too many words. How about idiot? So there's our second moron nominee. Guy gets axed as part of planned budget cuts and thinks he's being religiously persecuted. Oh, David in Tennessee got the joke. Jesus is coming, huh? Breathing hard and got his back arched, does he? Get the tissues. You're welcome, Jude. Thanks, Bob, for getting this one out. Finally, someone. Part of the Discovery Institute's in Seattle wedge strategy on the assimilation of intelligent design into the classroom. Yeah, see, these freaks, they are. They're like a virus. They seek to literally destroy the minds of children. Isn't it much easier to believe that an intelligent being that loves you so much that when you die he'll send you to a flaming pit of hell if you don't do everything he says? Isn't it much easier to believe that he created the world? So we got that. But that's not the end of the Moranity by any stretch of the imagination. No. It can't be the end of Moran Monday when you've still got Donald Trump. Yes, Donald Trump, who yells at windmills. You know, it's so funny. I see windmills perched on hills in West Virginia, and I think, ha! There's some hills that are protected that you can't blow away to get at a 6-inch seam of coal underneath it and unleash all kinds of toxins on people living downwind and downstream of it. Ha! But Donald Trump and that thing on his head, Donald Trump and that thing on his head see a windmill, and they think, well, giving the word think a run for its money, mind you, but they think, ha, disgusting. Yeah, this is a quote from Radio Rwanda's Neil Cavuto. Of course, when he wants to get the word out about disgusting wind power, naturally, the thing on his head. You know, it's just like, you remember Mad Max Beyond Thunderdome and the little guy that lived on top of it that was scary? Well, it's the same thing with the furry thing that lives on top of Donald's head. The little furry thing went on Donald and instructed the Donald to say the following. Wind is destroying the environment in many, many places. People are going crazy over the horrible, noisy, disgusting windmills. And they're horrible and a horrible intrusion, ruining communities. And solar is weak and has not been effective and it's very, very expensive. To the Blunder Dome. Oddly enough, and I know if he's listening, at this point in time, Brother Albert is screaming. The eye. Those disgusting windmills that don't work. Shh. Don't tell anybody, but their power output is growing.
Mm-hmm.
Just turns out that via a new report, for the first time in eons. Okay, not eons. That would confuse us with Mr. Coppedge over there at the Discovery Institute and all of his intelligent design goblolly. Yeah, I'm a computer scientist. Let me tell you how the Earth happened. It was a flying spaghetti monster who first created a tree and a mountain and a dwarf. For the first time in a very long while, the contribution of coal to the American energy diet dropped below 40%. It was a couple of years ago when the coal industry went, because coal had dropped below 50%. In less than 5 years, coal's contribution to the national energy grid has gone from in excess of 50% to less than 40%. That wind power is disgusting. No, you sick 1% freak. Cancer is disgusting. Heart disease is disgusting. Asthma is disgusting. Losing bodily organs to coal is disgusting. See, this guy, this goober, geek, neo-maxi, zoom dweeby.
Yeah, there he goes, calling names again. That's how those liberals are.
Hate this neo-maxi, zoom dweeby Trump. Hates wind because he thinks it's going to spoil his viewscape. Oh, the viewscape of his the planned golf resort in Scotland. At one point he said he was going to save Scotland from the windmills. Where's your Sancho Panza and your Dulcinea there, Donald? Jeebus. Horrible, noisy, disgusting windmills. Kind of makes you want to go look up Edgar Allan Poe and the bells, 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 the mills, mills, mills! And they're whirring, whirring, whirring. They're creaky, creaky whirring. Maybe we need sub-awards within More In Monday. For instance, we could give the Donald the, oh, go piss up a rope award for this evening. Yeah? Possible? Yeah. And it jeebus. Windmills? Disgusting? Did you go tell that to the Dutch? They've only been painting them and planting tulips around them for something on the order of 500 years. Seems to be working out for them, Donald. Oy. But no, we have an abundance of stupid. You know about, even if you don't know her name, you know, you already probably know about Sticker Lady. Sticker Lady is a person, a really revolting person by the name of Paula Smith. Paula owns a website called Stickitude. And she's going hand over fist right now selling racist bumper stickers. And so is another creepy old fart. Racist. Paula Smith is hustling a sticker that says, "Don't renig in 2012. Oh, yeah, see what she's, that's the short form of it. And, oh, that's funny. I don't care who you are. That's funny. Don't renig. Forbes magazine interviewed her. The author said, "Ms. Smith insisted that the bumper sticker is not racist. I asked her about the N-word, for which nig is the shortened version. According to the dictionary, the N-word does not mean black. It means a low-down, lazy, sorry, low-down person." Because, you know, that's exactly what it says in the dictionary. And right under that it says, see, redundant. It means a low-down, lazy, sorry, low-down person. That's what the N-word means. But then she doubled down. I decided to sell that sticker because I thought it was cute. You know, the way Kewpie dolls are cute. Or little lawn jockeys, maybe. I thought it was cute. And she said, "No, I don't think the N-word is offensive at all. I don't use it. And, you know, I have helped black families." Maybe she can get a job on Rick Santorum's staff in the I don't want to help black people department. Besides that, really, this is a quote. "Obama is not even black. He's got a mixture of race. It's his choice of what his nationality is." Really? It's his choice, lady? Race is a nationality now? You can be an American, or you can be a black one,
or American or blacken or whiten. It's his choice what his nationality is. Of course, we all know he's a Kenyan Muslim with a deep-seated hatred of white people and anti-colonialist tendencies.
Where would we be without the teabaggers? Don't answer. It would be a happier place, but... Oh, I guess Moran Monday would be a little shorter on Morans. And God, there's no want of these things. We have a minor Moran nomination coming from our buddy Horst, whom you heard from the very first time this past week. He won the evening's toaster for man nipples, and followed by several chromium-plated zircon-encrusted upgrades for later moments in the conversation. I had an email from Horst saying, "I will never speak publicly again." So we need a little encouragement for Horst. He felt like he sounded like a complete and utter redneck, and we had a conversation about that. Tell him he didn't. He said he was almost gonna play the tape of the recording of the conversation for his wife until he heard it, and then never mind, dear. And he said he was gonna do what Nixon should have done and burn the tape. But no, he has what he calls a minor Moran nomination. Joe Arpaio thinks his birther report is being quashed by the mean old liberal media. Here's the takeaway. Arizona Sheriff Joe Arpaio tells the Arizona Republic that a media conspiracy bigger than Watergate is purposefully downplaying his investigation of President Obama's birth certificate. Said Arpaio, "I'm not going to drop this. You don't think I did a press conference and let it die? I'll make a decision real quick where to send the evidence we have. There are not many options. You do know this is complex. Many conflicts of interest from the White House to the Attorney General. I can go on and on." And oh, I bet you can, Sheriff Joe. I bet you can go on and on till you get to the fluoridation and the commies and the... Mein Führer, I can walk! Gotta get the nominations in. This from Robert. Hold on a moment. Subject line, dinosaurs, intelligent design, and wind farms. Hold on a moment. Dinosaurs and human beings coexisted, but the fossil record of them is a lie put in place by the devil? Yes. See, you're gonna hurt your rational mind trying to comprehend all of this stuff, Robert. Stop. Stop now. Oh, he didn't stop. The Fundy groups tried to introduce intelligent design here in Australia. Australian scientists looked at it and said, "It's not science." And that was an end to it. We have a 30-minute science program on the Australian Broadcasting Corporation, and they did a program on it. It was such fun to watch. It is nice to watch science win, isn't it? We don't get to do that here in America. In the excellent BBC documentary The Age of Stupid, 2008, a builder of wind farms pointed out that if every wind farm program in the UK had gone ahead, instead of being blocked by locals, approximately 10% of the UK's electricity would be generated by wind farms. That's electricity for 60 million people. The main reason for wind farms being knocked back? They spoil the view and they don't work. You can understand the title of the documentary, can't you? Yes, the reminder of the documentary? The Age of Stupid. And we've got them here, too. There was a wind farm just one county over from us that couldn't be seen from the Greenbrier Resort, yet the Greenbrier and a bunch of icky little NIMBY types, not in my backyard! It'll destroy our view shed. Our viewscape will be ruined, and we moved to this lovely pastoral paradise so that our views, we wouldn't have those icky old viewscapes that we had in up in New York and Boston and Philadelphia and Washington. We wanted to look at the pristine green hills. Shut up. Maybe folks who live in, say, Raleigh County or Boone County or Mingo County or Logan County, maybe they'd like to look at their pristine green hills. And they could if they had some damned wind farms on them. But no, they're getting blown up, and they get to breathe God only knows what from the heavy metals end of the periodic table of the elements when the damn blasts go off, and the crap goes in the air, and the crap goes in the water, and the crap goes in the ground. And then the next thing you know, little Susie's at the ER, and then, oh, Mama, she's got cancer. I don't know why. See, I did it. I just had to go and mention Horst's toaster-winning comment from the other night. Subject line, this coming from Kim. Subject line, man nipples. As I sat at the beach today, oh, rub it in! As I sat at the beach today, watching all the men behind my mirrored dark sunglasses, I warmly thought about his statements about man nipples. I seen lots of them today, and it was hotter on the beach today than inside that toaster he won. Signed, Kim. See what you do to people, Horst? See what happens when you engage in conversation radio when Bob stops filibobstering for a little bit and actually takes calls? Yeah. Moran strike again. Don't you wish we could ship all these die-hard English-only types to Windsor or Buckingham Palace to have their proficiency in speaking English evaluated? Even having them put in their place by a formidable British actor would be a thrill to witness. The first who comes to mind is Maggie Smith, perhaps because of her delightful Violet Dowager Countess of Grantham is still ringing in my ears. That would be from Downton Abbey, the rage program that everybody in the world but me has seen. Then there's Sir Ian, Sir Patrick, Dame Judy, and Helen Mirren, not sure if she's a dame yet. Trust me, sweetheart, she's a dame. But for sheer humiliation, who would not be better than John, is this a piece of your brain, Cleese? Is this a piece of your brain being Jeanette's favorite Fawlty Towers moment? Okay, so I'm enjoying the thought of them being humiliated, but only because they're nasty first. For instance, if they painted something like all languages are okay or everyone except Native Americans is here illegally, I wouldn't enjoy the thought of them being humiliated in their misspelling. Thanks, Bob Kincaid, for this classic image. I'm hearing Sandra ask, when is this fool going to glory? It's more than a spelling error. Last I checked, Mexico, Central America, and South America were America as well as French-speaking Canada. Plus, I don't know where the doofus is, but here it's illegal to obstruct windows of vehicles which are being driven. This is America, and our only language is English. Damn, if we could just zoom that out a little bit. And this is, of course, on the back of a great big honking SUV with a Chinese yellow ribbon magnet. And our only language is English. Yeah, that whole speak English thing didn't pan out too well for the frothy one, Rick Santorum, who just got his fundamentalistly Opus Dei behind handed to him in Puerto Rico. No. Oh, yes, in answer to your question, Jeanette, Marty tells me, yes, Dame Helen Mirren is a dame. I told you. Jude, with a message for Horst. I found the dialogue between you and Bob quite good. Please call in again. And Horst responding, okay, maybe it's time I just get over myself. Seriously, though, once I came up with that line about making Jim Varney sound like Sam Cedar, the truth no longer mattered, and I just couldn't help passing that along. Yeah, because I giggled merrily at that one, too. You know, you probably deserve to hear this in its entirety, especially since it was written and easy to get at. Came in an email on Saturday entitled, Holy Crap, Bob. I was all geared up to play my portion of the podcast for my wife, but I started out with Sandra's call because I wanted her to hear what a smart American sounds like first. And my wife ran out of steam, though, and went up for a nap, so I kept the podcast running to see how my radio debut turned out. Jesus Christ, I sound like a hick! I feel like President Scroob in Spaceballs, and that one got me, too, when he says, "Why didn't anybody tell me my ass is so big?" If TV adds 5 pounds, radio must remove about 20 IQ points. I had no idea what an accomplishment it is to sound intelligent in a conversation. There are some folks with cool accents from my region, like Molly Ivins, peace be upon her, and Jim Hightower, but I positively make Jim Varney sound like Sam Cedar. If my wife asks me later where the podcast went, I'm going to pretend I did what Nixon should have done, burn the tapes. And if anybody starts asking why I've been watching My Fair Lady so often, tell them it's not for the music. Now, I got my work cut out for me. How's that go? The rain in Spain I can tell you honestly, I hollered for Agnes to come in and read her the "I make Jim Varney sound like Sam Cedar" line. You guys are the ones who make it all worthwhile. You absolutely do. And, well, there's no way around it. We got to get to this because it's... Well, no, wait. One more. I admit it. I'm running away from the gun violence stories. I'll get to them, but I gotta be able to deal with them. I've been getting just eat up by this stuff for a weekend, and just, oh, God. You know, you spend your life trying to be an advocate against the death penalty because state-sponsored murder is still murder, and it's never really a good idea. And then along come people like George Zimmerman, and you're thinking, I don't know. See if Sparky's working, would you? But then you have to breathe and let all the nasty energies go and breathe in and breathe out and let all... Because, see, it's right-wingers that make you this way. And if you spend enough time reading their crap and seeing how they behave, you start thinking, well, maybe they got a point. They don't have a point. State-sponsored murder is not okay. Jesus, George Zimmerman needs to be arrested if they can find him. But no, there's one more. A Moran nomination coming in from our buddy Jack in Shreveport. The frothy one, having had his hindquarters handed to him in Puerto Rico, is putting big odds on Louisiana and Illinois. I'll give him a running chance in Louisiana. Illinois, he's struggling. Because remember, there's still a bunch of Mormons in Illinois. And we discussed the other night how he makes, in a low turnout, low voter enthusiasm election, a bunch of noisy Mormons can make a big difference. But yeah, Jack sent this story along from the Shreveport Times. Santorum speaks at Shreveport Bossier City churches. Did I ever tell you about the time Wayne and me went to Bossier City, Louisiana? Bossier City. Kind of got a sound to it, don't it? Bossier City. Babylon on the Red River. Sin, hot women, sticky summer nights. Biggest strip of nightclubs between Vegas and Miami Beach. Bossier City. One-armed bandits. Teenage prostitutes. Drunken driving. All the things that make life worth living. One summer morning in 1967, Wayne said to me, "We can either get drunk here in Maynard, Texas, or we can get drunk in Bossier City." So we drove to Louisiana. And I mean, as soon as we got there, wham, just like that thing started to happen. Seen a car wreck. That was nothing. We saw three before we left town. We were in two of them. Wayne was a hell of a driver. And I tell you, we started at one end of that Bossier Strip and worked our way to the other. Club Flamingo, Log Cabin Club, Kim's Lounge, and the immortal Merle Kimberly's Whisk-A-Go-Go. It had three dance floors that lit up. Did we get in any fights? We got kicked out of the Aces Lounge and Mr. Torch for fighting. We started them. Then, at the Swamp Club, Wayne tried to pick up these two Italian girls. Well, their boyfriends didn't like that one bit. And let me tell you something. If you're ever in that part of the world, don't ever get involved with no Louisiana Italians. There ain't nothing worse than the Southern Mafia. The Italians pull out their knives, and me and Wayne run back to the truck to get my shotgun. Then the Italian guys pull out their guns and started shooting at us, but we made it back to the truck, and while Wayne backs the truck out of the parking lot, I fired out the window at the Italians. Wayne backed up into one car, hit a fence, and then as he's leaving the parking lot, he sideswipes an oncoming Lincoln Continental. We had ourselves a time. Anyway, me and Wayne ended up in Kim's Lounge, and Wayne begins to sweet-talk his girl down to the end of the bar. And pretty soon, he's taking this girl out to the pickup truck. He told me it wouldn't take long. So I ordered another drink. Then in about 5 minutes, old Wayne comes back in as white as a sheet and says, "Let's get the hell out of Bossier City." So we did. But after only 6 hours on the Bossier Strip, we had ourselves two fights, two car wrecks, had a gun battle with the Southern Mafia, and Wayne Wilder had French kissed a man in a dress. Wayne, down in Huntsville, boy, here's to you. Sorry, I always think of that little that little piece. It's from a wonderful, wonderful one-act play called Lone Star by James McClure. It's the first place I ever heard of a place called Bossier City. But yeah, as our buddy Jack noted, he said these things were done as puff pieces with nary a bit of analysis or examination of what he faced. Jack noting he was at two Baptist churches. What I noticed about the articles, it seemed like a total puff piece and said nothing critical at all. It left out details of the events it brought up that might detract from making Santorum look good. It's also notable that he spoke at those two Baptist churches where he'd probably have pretty friendly crowds. And that's the thing, that he had friendly crowds. That's downright weird if you consider, as I've noted, the fundamentalist and Baptist mindset of even 10 years ago. Mary worshipers, idol worshiping Catholics. They worship that Pope, don't they? They're not really saved, I don't think. I'm not making this up. But that's where it stands. That is just how, if you have any passing familiarity or understanding of fundamentalism in the United States, that's how weird this is. You know, the Southern Baptist Church is the single largest cult in the United States. And they have been remorselessly, relentlessly anti-Catholic for eons. I think it was David in Tennessee who first brought this fact up. But now, because somebody even weirder is in the lead for the presidency, the Baptists are having a purple polka-dotted blue screaming hissy trying to figure out what they're going to do about that cultist Mormon that wants to be their president to go up against, you know, that one who lives in our White House. Is the ultimate power that we the people must never give to the state. We cannot give our lives over to the state, not for militarism nor for any reason. We are the sovereign, not the state. And it's true. I guess the state of Philadelphia, or city of Philadelphia, what? I saw it in the Philadelphia paper. The state of Pennsylvania, or is it a commonwealth? Jesus, what a mess I am. Is considering getting rid of its death penalty altogether because they just can't quite seem to kill the right people in the name of, you know, the people of the state. Isn't it funny that something like capital punishment, that is very clearly, very definitely a matter of morals, a matter of, in many cases, religious determination and conscience. Isn't it funny how that doesn't count? How we've got all of this carrying on in the several states and some in the Congress of the United States about persons making decisions of conscience and how business owners with consciences shouldn't be forced to have their insurance pay for some trashy woman's birth control pills. And that's the conscience that matters, really? Whether a woman decides to get pregnant or not? That's the conscience? I'm sure the frothy one won't mind if we start withholding whatever the percentage of the Pentagon budget is from whatever our allocated amount of federal income tax is, will he? And then we can donate it separately to the portion of the budget that we actually think matters, things like Social Security, which isn't in the budget, I know, don't send the emails, or Medicaid or Medicare, the Department of Education or programs for the homeless. You know, the stuff that actually fits within the things that Jesus said to go and do and live and be, right? Because that's all kind of gone by the wayside in the discussion of what conscience is. I got me a whole big loading dose of conscience this weekend. I heard the audio and played it for Agnes and she wept, and I don't like making Agnes weep. And I pulled my son in and I said, "You listen. This is the world you live in, whether we're in Florida or not. There are people out there who shoot first and ask questions later and think Jesus wants them to do that. There are people out there in this country, weird as it may seem, who think that their Second Amendment rights is more important than letting some 16-year-old boy have Sunday turn into Monday. Oh, I got a righteous pissed off going over the weekend with the Trayvon Martin case. I'm not going to play that audio. I can't hear that little boy scream again. And yeah, 16, 14, 15, they may seem like they're not far from being men. But anyone who's ever been the father or mother of one knows that they are damn sure closer to being little boys than grown-up men. Anybody who's ever seen a teenage boy struggle against tears until he loses the battle, and you hold him and let him cry on your shoulder like you used to when he was a little fella, knows that lesson. And I can't hear Trayvon Martin scream again, and then hear that single shot ring out in the Florida dusk. I can't do it. Because I read everything I could get my hands on about the Trayvon Martin case, and I can't make Trayvon Martin's case be just a hell of a lot different from Emmett Till's case. You'll remember Emmett Till was murdered in 1955 at the age of 15 because he was said to have looked the wrong way at a white woman. Well, Trayvon Martin was murdered on February the 26th for just looking the wrong way, not at anything in particular. You know the particulars of the case, I'm sure. I know you do. That George Zimmerman called to 911, that George Zimmerman had called 911 46 times in the past year. That paranoia, weird racial paranoia, was bubbling through George Zimmerman's mind day in and day out. Until on February 26th, a little boy with a can of Arizona brand iced tea and a bag of Skittles was, in the sorry mind of George Zimmerman, rendered into a black man who might looks like he might be on drugs or something. And how the 911 dispatcher said, "Are you following?" "Yeah." "Well, we need you to not do that." Now he chased down Trayvon Martin, within feet of Trayvon Martin being home and safe, and engaged him and shot him in the chest as the little boy screamed, and you can hear the screams on the recording, begging for his life, and then bang! The screams end. I'm not going to play that audio. And there's still no attempt to even consider arresting George Zimmerman. And the man who won't arrest George Zimmerman caught heat a couple of years ago because he wouldn't arrest the son of a police lieutenant who had been accused of kicking a homeless man. For sport, for fun. I hate these stories. Because I keep coming back to the same conclusion every time one of these stories comes along. That we're okay with these stories. Especially the National Rifle Association. Well, if somebody had been there who had a gun, they could have stopped George Zimmerman from... The National Rifle Association poured thousands of dollars, if not more, if not hundreds of thousands of dollars, into lobbying the legislature in Tallahassee to pass that godforsaken Stand Your Ground so-called law that allowed George Zimmerman to pump a round through the chest of a teenage boy and destroy a family's world. Jesus! Trayvon's mama went on the Today Show and she said, "Look, he was killed because he was black. He was killed because of his skin color." And it is true. And let's make the next step. Let's use the word, because it was a lynching. Trayvon Martin was lynched, and not all lynchings require ropes. Not all lynchings require people dressed in their bedclothes. Sometimes it can be a one-man affair where the one man with the gun serves as cop, prosecutor, judge, jury, and executioner in the space of maybe 30 seconds or less. And yeah, Sandra's right. That police lieutenant's son, he had kicked a homeless black man, and the chief of police wouldn't file charges. But don't kid yourself or coddle yourself or convince yourself that somehow this is because it's, you know, there's 16 states with stand your ground laws, 16 states where there's another Trayvon Martin walking home tonight or tomorrow night or some other evening. And there's another George Zimmerman. And to the best of my knowledge, I am the only one who in the last 3 days has called out the National Rifle Association to stand up and take ownership of the murder of Trayvon Austin. Martin, I'm sorry. Trayvon Martin. Take ownership of his murder. Because they do have ownership of his murder. The fact that consequences are unintended does not make them any less consequences. And I would submit to you that these were not unintended consequences. The National Rifle Association pushed this damn law precisely so people could be comfortable blasting away, because the National Rifle Association wants a country armed to the teeth and staring down a barrel at each other, because it's good for business. And a question, a hypothetical question for every single gun owner out there, and I've had guts enough to ask it of myself, because I own firearms. If in some sort of perfect world with a Wayback Machine, you could know that if you simply got rid of your firearms, Trayvon Martin would live, would you do it? Would you do it? Because the answer for me is easy. Oh, yes. Oh, yes. But then again, there's the argument. Guns don't kill Trayvon Martins. Racist pigs with guns kill Trayvon Martins. And this is going, this movement is going to have to get a lot bigger and a lot stronger and a lot louder. But it is going to have to get bigger, stronger, and louder in the right direction. This isn't just because George Zimmerman had a gun. This isn't just because George Zimmerman was the self-appointed community security captain. This is because the people of the state of Florida send people to as their representatives to their state house who take $1,000 handshakes and PAC contributions and campaign contributions from the NRA and the gun lobby in general and pass laws that allow the George Zimmermans to feel comfortable blowing away teenage black boys. So chiefs of police can feel comfortable saying, well, ain't nobody else contradicting his version of events, so we didn't see no reason to arrest him or nothing. Anybody else who could have talked was done dead. As I said to someone who objected to my contextualizing the murder of Trayvon Martin, within the sickness of our gun culture, it's okay. No one's coming for your guns. Not even Barack Obama. And we are a sadder and sorrier nation for it. But it's all of a piece. The families of 16 grieving people in Afghanistan aren't that far spiritually different from Trayvon Martin's grieving family. And the family's grieving after what went down in Chicago over the weekend. Jesus God! Have you followed this? Holy mackerel. A six-year-old. Aaliyah Shell. Dead on the ground after a drive-by shooting. A six-year-old, one of six people who were rendered dead in the space of less than 24 hours as a result of vengeance and vendetta. It started about 3:40 p.m. on Saturday and carried through into Sunday. Six-year-old Aaliyah Shell was playing outside her house when a truck drove by and somebody inside blew her away. 18-year-old Juan Barraza and another 16-year-old juvenile have been charged with murder and aggravated discharge of a firearm.
Well, see, they were, Bob, that ain't got nothing to do with our Second Amendment rights. They's clearly people that didn't have no business having a firearm like a good upstanding God-fearing Christian American does.
A 24-year-old man murdered. A 21-year-old man murdered. A 22-year-old man murdered. You ever get the idea there's a war going on in the United States that just doesn't get a hell of a lot of play? And the story of the sergeant in Afghanistan, details are beginning to emerge about a remark, among other things, that he made about his last deployment in Iraq, where he told a buddy, "Not much going on over here. It doesn't seem to me making a lot of sense to give Haji money instead of bullets." Haji. Pentagon tried like hell to get soldiers to quit calling the brown-skinned people that were dropping like flies around them with bullets running through them Haji. Just weren't very damn serious. But they're all of a piece. They all come from the same place. We can't have a sane and sober conversation about it because the other side insists on engaging in fantasies about how, well, what we need, you know, we can't give up our pistol guns because then the government's going to show up on our porch, and how are we going to defend ourselves then, huh? Because just like you can't have a discussion about abortion without sooner or later the anti-abortion side giving themselves away as being rank religionists who want to enforce their views of religion upon the rest of us, so too, you can't have a discussion about firearms without sooner or later the usually white guy defending the firearm side of it. Well, we've got it in case the government becomes tyrannical. You know, because when Bubba Joe Bob... when the government shows up on his porch, he's going to come out with two pistols ablazing, just like Davy Crockett at the Alamo. Only the cops are going to have riot shotguns, tear gas, tasers. You You know, another story out of Northwest Alabama this weekend. That just, Jesus. So a guy over in Tuscumbia, Alabama, my old neck of the woods. I read the hometown paper from time to time. He's having a bad day. Been having a bad couple of weeks. It's been a bad month. He's 52 years old, been married to the same woman for 28 years, and his body's busted up and broke down, and he lives in Alabamistan, one of the most cruel and brutal states in these United States. He ain't got a job no more because he can't do a job no more. That means he ain't got no insurance no more because his insurance done run out. And when the insurance run out, his medicines run out. And he ain't been able to take his medicines for a couple of weeks. And that means he's fallen on the fallback position of self-medicating with a bottle of something brown that says bottled in bond. And he's sitting there watching the TV one morning, and he starts telling his wife, you know, what I want us to do is just move the hell away from here. And I dare say a whole bunch of us have started out a conversation. I just want to get the hell away from here. You know what I want to do, honey? I want to move to Alaska and pan for gold. Because the pills are gone. Because the medicine that makes the voices talk a little quietly are gone. And so in the newspaper account, she said, well, I knew we were going to have a bad day, so I just picked up the dogs, and me and the dogs, we went for a ride in the car. Well, while her and the dogs was gone for a ride in the car, Joe, we'll call him Joe, takes his shooting iron out in the backyard and squeezes off a couple of rounds into the dirt. You know, just like that guy did who shot his daughter's laptop. Only problem was, the neighbors called on this one. And the next thing you know, old Joe's holed up in his house saying he wasn't going to come out with that. He come out with his gun, squeezes off a couple of rounds at the cops across the street. Fortunately, he missed. Brown liquor will do that to your aim. And a standoff ensues. Chief of police gets him on the phone and does a pretty passable job of hostage situation negotiating. Weren't no hostages, just old Joe and his liquor and his pistol. And Joe comes out, throws something over in the driveway, and the cops run up with semi-automatic rifles pointed at him in their fancy Homeland Security black with no badges visible SWAT costumes and automatic weapons pointed at his brains, and proceed to taser him to the ground. Turns out what Joe threw was his cell phone and his tephus. And he was, when last heard of, done gone to jail in Colbert County, Alabama. They might have taken him for a little mental health evaluation before putting him in the clink. There seems to be something, there seems to be a connection here. This is an extremely stressed out, agitated nation. And the problem is, the folks that are stressed out and agitated, in the main, are people with guns! As Arlo Guthrie once remarked, didn't make me feel too good. So I'm done, now that we're halfway through the program, I'm done filibustering. I just had to get all that out in my system. Hope you'll forgive me. And I can update that we are making profound progress on the $250 challenges out there. We may very well make it, but we won't without your help. We need just a few more, $10 contributions to have met both the Up Over and the Dr. John challenge. Oh, by the way, this coming in from Sandra, just to put a bit of punctuation on it. The White House says the issue regarding Trayvon Martin's death is a local issue. Funny? I don't see it that way. Not funny. Not funny at all. But I don't see it that way. If it's always a local issue, every time a Trayvon Martin gets shot, or every time somebody goes ape shit at a Virginia Tech or a Columbine, if all of those are local issues, then all we're gonna have are local tragedies. But the gun owners are the big babies in the room. And can't be talked to like grown-ups so as to be made to understand that they have a piece of this. Yeah. Yeah, Sandra. It's not a Harvard professor. It's not a local issue. It's kind of hard to stomach. So, hopefully, you've got things you want to say. I got a couple of blinking lights where I hope people are still there. You know how to reach the program. Toll free, it's 877-443-2366. 877, the numeral 4, head on. If you wish to direct dial, it's 304-658-3333. We'll take a little break and come back. This is Conversation Radio. This is America's listener-supported liberal voice. This is The Horn. Me? I'm Bob Kincaid.
Put a bullet through his heart. Thinking ahead means preparing for the future. The future of our children, our grandchildren, and our wild, wonderful West Virginia. Developing our renewable energy resources is the best way to ensure a clean, sustainable way of life and safe, good-paying jobs for generations to come. Here in the Mountain State, our most abundant energy resource is the wind. Our ridges and majestic mountain peaks shape and direct the wind like stones in a mountain stream. Coal River Mountain is the ideal place for developing wind power. The Coal River Mountain Wind Farm will provide us with a source of clean energy and good jobs forever. We have the power to make our future happen now. Be a part of the clean energy solution for West Virginia by visiting coalriverwind.org or call 304-854-2182. That's coalriverwind.org, 854-2182.
Total Genius. It's not your mother's soap.
Hey, dude, wait 1 second. It's totally my mother's soap.
Total Genius. It's not your father's soap.
No. See, right here, I've got soap for my dad.
And you know what? It's not just soap. Look, it's stuff for my dog.
Holy crap. There's even stuff for all my pregnant friends.
And hippies.
And hey, dude, loosen that tie. Try it again.
Total Genius. We got your soap right here.
And got your bad body stuff.
www.doublegenius.com. I need a fix, cause I'm gone down, down to the bits that I left uptown. I need a fix, cause I'm gone down. Mother Superior jumped the gun. 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 Mother Superior jumped the gun.
You know, that if they didn't so thoroughly fetishize and sexualize their firearms, maybe we could have that discussion, but I don't, it's like, I mean, they are, they're, you know, for the right wing in this country, firearms are blue steel penis extensions. Hey Bob, you mentioned the National Rifle Association. I always thought NRA was an acronym for neurotic redneck assholes. Oh! From Rich in Antelope, California. I think you know. Okay, anybody? Votes? Toaster? Toaster to Rich in California? Rich? Toaster. NRA, neurotic redneck assholes. So, yeah. Slots open on the phone. Jump right in. Hey, welcome to the program.
Yeah, this issue has too many entanglements.
It's got too many tiers.
Yeah. There's definitely that. The Zimmerman guy, he should definitely do some jail time. And there should be definitely a publicized trial, but... if we don't have that, then we don't really have a starting point, now, do we?
I've got my starting point, David.
What's that?
My starting point is the frenzy of the National Rifle Association running around the country insisting and browbeating legislatures into passing laws that make people feel comfortable gunning down teenage black children. I lay this entirely. I mean, George Zimmerman pulled the trigger, but you know what? The National Rifle Association pulled George Zimmerman. They've got to own it. This is theirs, pure and simple.
Well, the problem is we don't have the horn, so to speak, to get that out to the public.
No, we don't. What we don't have is enough people with enough guts, because after all, they've got guns. You know, I forget the guy's name, but he was a talker, kind of a shock talker in Denver 20, 30 years ago.
Mm-hmm.
And he fearlessly went after the racists and skinheads and white supremacists. So one evening on the way to his car, the racists and skinheads and white supremacists waited till he got in his driveway and blew him the hell away. You know what? That serves as a warning. Don't talk about the people with the guns. And there are very few people with enough guts, and I can name a few of them offhand to make that call out. But none of them, or almost none of them, are politicians, David.
Mm.
None of them are in positions of power. None of them are in a place where they can speak and have to be dealt contended with.
Isn't the legal arsenal, though, of the NRA just so overpowering that there's just nothing to be done right now about it? You continue to have the message, I understand that, but there comes into the place.
But there, at some point in time, there comes a case that makes it clear how manifestly wrong and how utterly evil an organization is. That case was Emmett Till, where with the Klan. Trayvon Martin is that case with the National Rifle Association. They are, I will say it, utterly, completely, indefensibly, and unsavably evil. That organization is just plain evil. See, a lot of people are focused on George Zimmerman, and I want the man arrested. I want him tried. I want a jury to hear the case and render an outcome. But that is with regard to this specific incident. But the thing is, these incidents happen all over the country. And they happen at the insistence of the National Rifle Association that propagates and maintains this stupid fantasy that gun owners are somehow the protectors of our freedom. And I'm effing sick of it, David. I am daggum disgusted with it.
The business of it, though, is so... I mean, I live right next to a gun store. I mean, I don't know how you can... I understand what you're saying, Bob, but I don't understand how you can stop that from happening. Especially where we live. I mean, I understand it completely. I don't own a gun. I have no desire to own a gun. But where it comes into the history of my family and how many guns they own and stuff like that, I think about that and I laugh because I'm like, yeah, good luck with that. I mean, because it's really their only, it's the last choice that they have, that they own. Somehow they think that this right is given to them by the Almighty. And the almighty NRA.
Well, and it is. It's a case of mistaken religious devotion. The gun cult in this country, David, has all of the earmarks of a religious zealotry. You know, the bumper stickers. You can have my gun when you pry it out of my cold, dead fingers, or... when guns are outlawed, only outlaws will have guns.
So let's say I gave you the power to stop the NRA. I mean, what would be your first step and then remember, I mean, you're going down in increments. I don't expect something to just happen where you just switch the volume knob to zero. But what I'm saying is what would be your first step where you would be get like
handguns?
Handguns?
There are lots of perfectly civilized countries that have access to long guns and shotguns.
Mm-hmm.
You know, for the right-wingers are, well, look over there at them sissies in England. The government done took all their guns. Horse shit. The thing is, it costs a lot to own a firearm. There are licensing fees. But yeah, look at Austria. Some of the finest hunting rifles in the world are Austrian made. But you know what? If you want to go hunt Bambi with one of them, it's going to cost you. And why shouldn't that be the case here? It's not like we're, well, we kind of, in places where I, yeah, we kind of are overrun with deer. But we're overrun with deer because the poachers out there shoot them to watch them die and don't tag them and don't report them, and the state game biologist can't get a handle on what kind of population there actually is.
If you make the gun registering and gun licensing, and see, this is what I'm going to toss back to you. If you make this more of a hindrance for people to own handguns, I'm just asking this. Doesn't that increase the usage of illegal handguns selling on the streets?
Not if you can competently... look, if you make it harder to have a handgun,
mm-hmm.
then you make it more likely that anyone who has one is doing so illegally. And it actually makes law enforcement easier. I mean, look at this... Jesus, this shootout at the OK Corral that went down in less than 24 hours over the weekend in Chicago. I'm sure the NRA position would be that, well, none of them guns was owned legally. At some point in time, those guns, David, were purchased legally, very legally. And they were purchased in states like West Virginia and like Alabama and like Virginia. Where if you're old enough to get the money up on the counter, you're old enough to buy a firearm.
So how do you temper down the outrage as soon as you would no more the regulation on the handguns? You just increased it. Let's say that happens. How would you temper down the outrage immediately coming at you, at everyone? The NRA, you know what I mean? Their whole army of lawyers. See, this is why it's such an issue that, I mean, I understand it. But at one point I'm like, it's unrealistic because of the whole where it comes into place of the law and the court system and how much that they can just keep piling on lawyer after lawyer after lawyer after spokesman after spokesman after spokesman, and it just gets to a point like, okay, you say you succeed in that, but what I'm saying next is. You obviously you're going to get the backlash for it. You see what I'm saying? It's going to step you back.
No, of course. But no, I mean, look. The question is how much of that you can have my gun when you pry up my cold dead fingers is weird ass redneck bluster. The lawyers. You know what? Even lawyers. Can be cowed. Consider, and really, I think, unless I'm told otherwise, I think it is appropriate to draw the parallel between Emmett Till and Trayvon Martin.
Mm.
I mean, they were almost identical in age. They were summarily executed for something that was not a crime under any set of circumstances. And they were in communities that said it was okay to do it. Well, Emmett Till's mama, when she got Emmett back to Chicago where he lived, insisted that his casket be open so that they could see what was done to her boy. And it ignited an absolute firestorm of outrage that not even the Klan could withstand. And yeah, they battled back, but that was the beginning of the end of the Klan. And this case should be the beginning of the end of the National Rifle Association, because they and, you know, it wasn't somebody that had an idea that the National Rifle Association got behind. These stand your ground laws are the National Rifle Association. And if they had their way, they would have them in all 50 states and nobody would be safe anywhere. They can be shamed. You know, they can be pushed back against. Let one candidate endorsed by the NRA be driven from political office by outraged voters, and the NRA will start to dry up. The NRA needs to be sued out of existence. They got all those lawyers? Fine. Let's send them into courtrooms. And let's let juries decide. But there is a bright, bright line. It's not a hash mark. It's not broken. It's not wavy. It is a bright, straight line that runs from the NRA to stand your ground laws to Trayvon Martin in a casket. Unfortunately, I'm one of the few people, I won't say I'm the only, but I am one of the few people you will hear say that.
Yeah, I understand. It's the intimidation factor. It's the it's that sense of hopelessness for so many people who have made remarks about the NRA in the past, and it seems like because of the backlash that they've gotten, or the criticism, or the harshness of the statements coming back forward to them, it's a problem. I mean, there's gonna need to be more people to stand up against this kind of gun violence, and hopefully they do that in the future.
And see, this gun culture has created this phony baloney sense of patriotism about owning a gun that is nothing more than hogwash. You know, the fact that you go out and buy a gun does not suddenly mean that you're a defender of freedom and liberty. It means you're another idiot who's been sucked in by the gun lobby. Who's been told that, you need to, because I've made this argument myself. I include myself in this inquiry that I make. When I ask these kind of questions, David, I don't ask them of anyone before I ask them of myself. And I'm part of the problem because I own firearms. And part of the reason I own firearms is because there's a lot of crazy little bastards out there, most of whom are right-wingers, who own them too and are willing to use them.
Yeah, it's a predicament for sure. I think.
But the fact of the matter is, having firearms in the house makes it more likely the firearm will be used on you.
Well, I think that's.
George Zimmerman is saying that scream on that audio recording is him screaming because, you know, the kid with the can of iced tea and the Skittles was coming for him.
I think the biggest problem, though, with this is if we were to do, like, a national survey on, you know, the way they would word it, keep your guns or not, don't keep your guns, I think we'd be really, it'd have really depressing odds of how many people would decide to keep their firearms.
Well, and that's why I asked that hypothetical question, David.
Yeah.
You know, if you could set the Wayback Machine and know that if you just gave up your fire, your handgun, your penis extensions, if you could do that and know that Trayvon Martin would live because you did it, would you do it? And it only works if everybody does it and Trayvon Martin comes back.
Yeah.
Because you know what? Some redneck horse's rear end, be it in Florida or Alabama stand or Mississippi stand or God knows where,
well, I ain't going to give up, because one of these days I may have to defend myself against government tyranny when that Obama, you know, I'm not going to renege in 2012 when that Obama says comes for my bullets. I've had people I know explain to me that, no, he's much smarter than that. He's not going to come for the guns. He's just going to make the ammunition so expensive that you can't afford to buy it. That's how sneaky that Obama is.
And it wasn't said as a joke. It was said in dead earnest.
Yeah, meanwhile, the NRA spikes up the ammunition.
Right, and because that was deliberately circulated, ammunition sales went through the freaking roof.
Yeah.
Gun sales after January 2009 went wild. Because there's a whole bunch of whiteys out there, a bunch of white paranoid people, they're going to be ready when he sends his National Negro Army out to disarm us and turn us into slaves as reparations for the Civil War. I mean, it sounds like parody when I say it, because I do it in a funny voice and everything, David, but I promise you, they have those conversations.
I know what you're saying, Bob, because like I said, I live right next to a gun store. That place is never... I don't think it's even... It may be closed on Sunday. But it's always people going in. to get ammo, to get whatever supplies that they need to get another gun, to just sell a gun, because the other gun or the other rifle that they got, they don't like that one, so they're going to trade.
Well, you know, you don't want to go hunting elephants with a squirrel rifle. Conversely, you don't want to go wing shooting with a .30-06.
Yeah, I mean, that's the problem I see.
I mean, you don't try to put in a screw with a hammer, nor do you try to remove a tooth with a... Yeah.
And that's where we come across the problems that to get this point across in gun education, and why so many people, you know, someplace like Maine or someplace like Massachusetts or so forth. It's hard to have this issue and to have a serious discussion about it, and then to not have it just completely veer off into hysteria.
Yeah, but we're not the ones who are hysterical.
I know, but the problem is what I'm saying is when you talk about these issues, to so many people, you know, it's just endless. It's just something. It's last.
Oh, yeah, but consider the bullshit origin statement. Well, I'm a law-abiding citizen. I take my firearms out and shoot targets. I get great relaxation out of target shooting. Well, Jesus, are you telling me that you're incapable of learning to knit? You know, how about tennis?
Well, you know, that's the problem with being human, Bob. We love to live in bullshit, so much of us. And we like to surround ourselves in it. It helps that, because you never have to face up to those serious hypocrisies and contradictions of life.
And one of these days, this gun culture of ours is going to bite us in the ass hard, and it's not going to be a local issue anymore. It's going to just burble out all over the place, and it's not going to be because that one in our White House come for the guns. It's going to be because these neurotic, paranoid freaks have decided that you know, that... Look, they know it. They know it. Down in their heart of hearts, they know it. They know this is going to be a majority-minority country in another generation or less. And they're scared shitless about it, David. I mean, it's like Jay just wrote in and said, Bob, we've lost this battle. There are already nearly as many guns in this country as there are people. Even if it was possible to stop all handgun sales in the country going forward, it would change nothing. My only hope is that the outrage will bring the same person in Florida to Texas, and he ain't insane. In the meantime, the only people who die are those like the three kids who died in Washington State last week. At first glance, that seems like a tragedy, but all three died because of their parents, but at least the gene pool might be improved. Jesus. And that's where we fight. Those are the kinds of calculus that we're forced into.
Yeah.
You know, we have to look up after every one of these things, and every time one of these stories comes along, I say to myself, you know, I'm not going to do this again because I get tired of doing it. But I have to say it. It's going to happen again and again and again and again, David.
Yeah.
Because we like little dead teenagers. We like our guns more than we do little dead teenagers. Our guns are more important in this country than a mother's son.
It's like I said, it's a serious problem, and just need to continue to have this discussion. I did want to open up my own shifting gears here. I did want to open up my own challenge.
Oh, stand by just one second. I got to share something with you because this is too good. Randy just wrote in and said, I want to be manly and shoot radioactive deer after the apocalypse. Sure.
That's a video game right there. Somebody get to work on that.
Well, yeah, somebody get to, but they'd be radioactive zombie deer.
Yeah, I don't know. Maybe Bob is a bit.
Is it real?
What I'm saying is it looks like it's a... With a game like that to be in development, Bob, you got to let maybe look 2 or 3, 4 years ahead. And who knows? Who knows really if the zombie market's going to still be popping like it is?
Yeah, in another year or so, the you'll have a free a freeware game out there where you can fly Iranian nuclear bomb development scientists. We're double secret probation XX double aught sniper rifle.
Here's my challenge for everyone.
All right.
If someone donates or contributes, rather, $50, I will contribute another $50 tonight.
So we are up to $150 in challenges.
Now here's the other one. This is one where I put the QVC special in.
Oh.
Now, if anyone right now, while I'm on the phone, contributes to $25, I have a selection of DVDs in my hand of the show which I've mentioned a few times on this program called Newsroom by Ken Finkelman. It concludes Series 1, Series 2. It's the complete series plus the special. For a contribution of $25, or the first person who just, if you're going to contribute $50, you'll get it too. So anyone who is listening right now who wants this Newsroom collection, it is your turn to jump in. And this includes hours and hours of entertainment, and I rate this show, Bob, as one of the greatest shows ever to be on the TV screen.
Wow.
Newsroom makes you just go, how the hell did he write that? And Ken Finkelman is the guy who wrote the Judd Reinhold movie, Head Office.
Okay.
So he has a history of writing a lot of... What's really weird about it is he does a lot of CBC series, but he kind of rewrites them, and it's like the same thing over and over again, the same characters. And for some reason, this is the only one on that they've released on DVD. But, yeah, so if you're interested in Newsroom, I would jump on this, and you will have hours and hours of entertainment with your family watching this, and laughter will ensue. And you will thank me, and you will thank the horn that you got a chance to discover this program.
Awesome. So we need a right quick $25 contribution to
$50. The first person.
Yeah, first person. 25 or let's say 25 or better.
25 or better. First person who jumps in, it's yours. During this whole, we'll give you the whole opening for the whole show, but I wouldn't wait on it because.
It'll go quick.
It will go quick, I think. Now, let's see what happens.
Well, I got to... Now, there's only one problem with this, David, and it is not with the offer, and it is not with the program.
Uh-oh.
It's with this program.
Okay.
I have just been informed by David in Tennessee and Jeanette and a couple of others that we are, as David in Tennessee put it, blipping and skipping. Jeanette said we're skipping like an old 33 record. So we've got some issues apparently.
Uh-oh.
With the server.
Well, let's leave it open till the end of the week, I guess.
Okay. And by the way, I just had a message from John Fox.
Yeah.
Saying ask David to get his arse in the chat room, please.
Oh, I will do that promptly in a minute.
Okay. Well, and see, John just told me that the stream has just moved out.
Mm-hmm.
But I think I'm buffering almost to the point of non-existence, and I know.
Interesting, because having a problem, that was just me.
No, it's not you.
Hmm.
And the thing is, I know that our bandwidth is rock solid.
Now did that start happening when you started mentioning the NRA?
Don't know. Wouldn't that be interesting?
It would be interesting to see if you go back and check the minute that it was happening. But I leave that open to anyone with a challenge for this week.
All right, and you know what? If you want to kick in 25 or better, and you would like to have this DVD collection, just put that in an email to me and let me know.
And Bob knows
because there's only one set.
There is that's right, limited edition. There's only one set, and Bob knows I'm good for it. So
everybody. Well, everybody who's watched. Cave of Forgotten Dreams via your largesse knows you're good for it.
New listeners too, just to throw that out there.
That's true. That's very true.
All right, Bob. Well, as always, it's been great talking to you. And people, light up the phones if you can. If we do get this problem sorted out, and I leave the microphone down, and now it's your turn to speak.
All right. Thank you, David. Have a good evening.
Later.
Bye now. So. To recap, we have now $150 worth of challenge on the table, and we are $130 away from meeting them. So that's only 13 $10 contributions, and that will take us along. Well, meeting them all will mean that we'll be able to not sweat it next week, because, you know, in a room full of people doing radio, I kind of hate doing pitches. Just saying. but that would be a $300 night, which would be absolutely astonishing. So if you can help out with a $10 contribution, or if you want this DVD collection, 25 or better gets it for you, and you will enjoy it. David has a keen eye for good video. Okay, there's the $25 contribution. What I need to know is, do you want the videos? So you know who you are. Just send me a note and say yes, and we'll make sure that it gets on its way to you. All right, let's keep going. Hey, welcome to the program.
Well, hello from the Commonwealth of Pennsylvania.
Thank you.
To answer that question you had earlier.
There's just this little handful of them, Spike, and it's a pain in the ass because I keep forgetting who they are. Kentucky, Pennsylvania, is Virginia.
Virginia, Massachusetts.
Virginia and Massachusetts. Anybody else?
I believe that's it.
Okay, good.
Unless Tennessee's also might be one, I'm not sure.
No, I'm pretty sure Tennessee's a state.
Okay. Well, unfortunately, the whole meaning of Commonwealth has been lost with the fracking governor in office of late.
Oh, yeah.
And by the way, if it's what I think you're referring to, that was more a wishful thinking op-ed from the Philadelphia Inquirer, because that chance capital punishment with a Republican majority in the state House and Senate will be overturned because, they're just bloodthirsty maniacs, these right-wingers, these people who are God-fearing individuals who feel the need to play God. They wanted to play God with the brain-dead woman from Pennsylvania, who was originally from Pennsylvania. I believe she was in another state in the United States about, what was it, 6 years ago now, I guess it was, maybe 7 years ago, where the one right-winger said, oh, look, she's still alive. Her eyes follow the balloon once on video. I can't think of her name. Her parents live in the Philly burbs still, which is awfully right-wing. These, for that matter, we just recently passed into law here the Castle Doctrine, which is the exact same law as what they're calling in Florida the
Stand Your Ground
law. Right. It's the exact same law. They just gave it a different name in the northern states because they needed a more redneck Larry the Cable Guy approved sound down in his home state of Florida.
Well, and let's back up on the Castle Doctrine for a minute. I'd like to see the legislation, Spike, not because I doubt you, but because there is a subtle difference between the Castle Doctrine and Stand Your Ground. The Castle Doctrine gets its name from the fact that the old saying, every man's home is his castle.
Right, but the way it was written in Pennsylvania, what they said is any place where you have the legal right to be, which actually also covers you in public streets.
Eek! Yeah, that's not castle doctrine unless the castle is some sort of zonus. That doctrine means that if somebody invades, you don't have to retreat to the furthest corner, that you can stand in the living room and blaze.
Right, and so they passed the Castle Doctrine of Pennsylvania, basically exactly the same as the law in Florida, where if you feel threatened anywhere you have the legal right to be, you have the legal right to use force. There's no doubt in my mind, CBS played the audio of the 911 tapes and had the mother say that was definitely her son screaming for help. And if you see the large man in George Zimmerman, if he sounds like that when he's yelling, obviously he's had his nutsack removed, because that definitely sounds like a young, small man, teenage boy. I mean, and I know that probably sounds a bit cold to somewhat make it, but when you look at the boy who was shot, he was not a large individual. He was a little guy. The guy who shot him, much bigger, certainly much more obese. And, the thing that cracks me up is that there's other aspects of this case no one's talking about. How in 2005, George Zimmerman was arrested for assaulting an officer of the law. Somehow those charges were dropped. There's no explanation of why those charges were dropped. But he was arrested for assaulting a law enforcement officer. Now, that brings in the question, had he been convicted, would he really still have that legal right to carry? Now, if the NRA had their way, then yes, because the NRA fights the idea of checking to make sure criminals don't get guns. They literally fought the idea of background checks, saying it was unconstitutional because they were literally defending the rights of felons to have firearms. You know, dirty little secret about Juan LaPierre, Pepe Le Pew of Guns group, and what they really stand for. And
right.
They do stink. You know, and I am a member of the Liberal Gun Club. I am a gun owner, and the NRA has never spoken for me. We stopped being members of the NRA, my father and I, back in the 90s because they had become such a radical right-wing organization who seemed worked up on the most ludicrous laws, like making sure felons didn't get guns. And by the way, they carry on how background checks are still ridiculous. You know how long it took me to get background checks for my sidearm? 7 minutes. 7 minutes.
Oh, I think I've told this story before, Spike. But I remember long ago seeing a fax machine in the sheriff's office.
Mm-hmm.
And oddly enough, output went directly and a dedicated telephone with that. He said that's for the mandatory background checks.
Yeah. Yeah.
It just went in the garbage.
Yeah. I mean, you could be a habitual individual for assault in the Commonwealth of Pennsylvania. Chances are you'll still get approved. Although my background for the concealed carry took longer to get approved than my ability to just buy the gun in the first place. And interestingly enough, in Pennsylvania, since Corbett became our governor, the price or the fee for a concealed carry license went down. It went from being $21 for a 5-year license to $19. Meanwhile, part of that money had gone into funds for law enforcement. Now law enforcement are being forced to lay off employees, mainly officers who patrol the streets of the Commonwealth of Pennsylvania. So the former top cop of Pennsylvania has cut funding for law enforcement because the NRA felt it was too expensive at $21 for 5 years. Let me tell you something. I would have been willing to pay $50 for a 5-year license. That's still a bargain at $10 a year.
Well, look, listen. You're talking about the literal power over life and death in concealed carry. Now,
yeah.
Here in wild, wonderful West Virginia, emphasis on wild where this is concerned, our Supreme Court ruled, Jesus, almost a generation ago, that you have the absolute right under both the Second Amendment to the Constitution and West Virginia's gun laws to put a pistol on your hip. It's called open and notorious carry, and I'm sure you know what that is, Spike.
Yeah, we have open carry here. Most states do have open carry.
Yeah, if you strap it on, and
you don't even need a permit.
You don't even need a permit, and
right.
That ought to give pause for reflection.
That's right. It's and then they get angry when a member of a law enforcement agency asks for someone's identification to make sure they're not a felon walking around open carrying. And they have a conniption, refuse to give ID, they videotape it and post it to show how those damn liberal police are coming after which officers, mostly Republicans. And yet, they get indignant at the few that are actually going to do their job and make sure you should be legally allowed to do that because, you know, maybe for all he knows, you're a convicted murderer and you really shouldn't be walking around with this gun on you. And I might add, open carry is the dumbest idea, aside from the fact that unlicensed individuals can open carry. If you really think you're safe with open carry, you're the biggest sucker of all, because if someone is actually set on shooting people, guess who's the number one target to shoot first when he
gets
his gun out?
Yeah.
He's going to shoot the guy who knows has a gun first before you have a chance to draw. Yeah, that's why my thing is clearly out of sight wherever I go. Sometimes people are shocked to know I even had one on me later on. It's because, I'm secure in my manhood. I don't need to flash my piece around to show off I got something between my legs.
I go back to, the blue steel penis extension.
Yeah.
I mean,
well, that's exactly what it is for a lot of these guys. You don't have to tell me. These ones who also carry on about stopping power, that's why I need a 45 caliber, because I said 9mm.
Well, now, hold on here.
Yeah, okay. I got news for you. More people get killed by 9mm than any other caliber in this country. So,
well, yeah, but some of that's market saturation.
Yeah, yeah. These people that think the bigger the bullet, the better.
Well, in this case, a 9mm, look, a .22 caliber point blank is plenty.
Yeah, if you know where the land the bullet, a .22 is as deadly as a .45.
I know there are some... purists out here in the deer hunting community, and I want to make something clear here. I draw a real distinction between hunting and carrying a concealed sidearm. Okay, I really do. I know there's a weird little subset of people who go out to Montana to hunt cougars with 357 magnums with scopes on them, but there's such a they're not even worth thinking about. A handgun serves only one purpose.
To shoot a person.
Yeah.
Yeah.
They're human elimination tools. You ever seen, of course you have. You know Life of Brian, right?
Life of Brian.
Monty Python's Life of Brian.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. You know the scene where the guy comes out into the arena for the gladiator fight? And he just starts running away from the gladiator until the gladiator, with all his armor and everything, just keels over with a heart attack and dies.
Yeah.
Okay, if George Zimmerman had had a knife and Trayvon Martin had started running, the 911 call would have been for the coronary that George Zimmerman was having.
Yeah, absolutely. And you know, even the way that law is written, it's questionable how he's still legally protected, because in reality, let's be honest, the 911 operator specifically said to him not to follow the individual.
Yeah, now, well, actually the quote is,
talking.
Are you following him? Yes. The answer that came was, okay, we need you not to do that. Now, just in terms of human behavior, because I listened, and just in terms of human behavior, here's what George Zimmerman heard. Are you following him? Yes. Okay.
Yeah.
He never even heard, we need for you not to do that.
Right. Maybe he wasn't perhaps worded the best.
Because George Zimmerman was already in his killing frenzy. This is a guy who has called 46 times to 911 in a one-year span. That's almost once a week for a year. This is a guy who complains these assholes always get away.
And he lives in a gated community, so who's the bad element kicking around in his community?
There's a little background on that. It was started out as a gated community, and then because of the foreclosure crisis, the way Miami Herald reported it, because of the foreclosure crisis, the people who had bought in that gated community sold, or else they started renting to quote-unquote undesirables, which is another way of saying black
people. Or non-whites,
right?
Latinos, too, in Florida.
Yeah. So, but bear in mind, there is no more racist community in the United States than the Latino community in South Florida.
Oh, the Cubans. There's other out to the Latin community.
They vote.
Republicans, Puerto Ricans live there as well.
They vote Republican. They're way going to get their land back that Fidel took from them. You know, that whole sickening thing.
Yeah. Republicans and Puerto Ricans in Florida are more your Democratic supporters.
Right.
And for that matter, your Dominicans are also generally off. Also black as well.
Right, but okay, so yeah, I stand it. But that's, you know, and that probably part of what was driving, that's, you know, he's a self-appointed security captain? Who made him a captain? Why isn't he a security private or a security intern or a security lieutenant junior grade or, no, he's a captain. I guess he was, if it was a gated community in Kentucky, he'd be a self-appointed security colonel, right?
Well, you know, you have to keep in mind, he created a crime watch of his own, and who knows if there's any other members.
Oh, no, the reporting says he's a community of one. Of one.
Yeah. Which, anyway, by the way, I'm a demonstrable, and I'm not a naked crime watch individual. Something happens and I see it, I might take care of the problem, but I'm not staring at my windows making calls every 20 minutes about, you know, anyone who slightly looks out of place in my neighborhood. And go figure, I'm appointed by the court in the Commonwealth of Pennsylvania. I'm appointed by the court as a member of law enforcement, and I'm not a renegade cowboy yahoo running around like this guy stalking people.
Well, and when you read this story, bear in mind that there is some strategy going on here, too, because now you get the stories coming out about the people who were uncomfortable with him. Well, you know why suddenly the stories about them being uncomfortable with him when they didn't say a damn word to him before were? You know why those are coming out?
Because they're afraid he probably would have shot them.
No, they're afraid that the legal liability is going to trickle down to the homeowners association, and all of a sudden ain't nobody gonna own a condo in Hurricane Stump no more.
Yeah, well, and also the point about the police officer who's in charge of the case and his son kicking the black homeless man for kicks. And no charges ever being pressed. You know, that's exactly why the weak quote I read from the White House today saying that the local FBI is looking into it, they're aware of it, they're monitoring it, but it's a local matter. And the zombie Nazi governor, Crook Scott, saying, I'm not going to have the Florida State Police look into this.
Well, and you'll love this.
He doesn't give a shit about anyone who isn't white and handed him money.
Beautiful. Okay, that's toaster worthy. I got an email from our dear friend Jude a little bit ago, and she wrote to the Attorney General of Florida, whose name is Pam Bondi.
All right.
And she got a robo-response. Apparently there's so many emails going in over the Trayvon Martin story that the AG's office is generating robo-responses now. It says, Jude, thank you for contacting the Attorney General's office regarding killing of Trayvon Martin. Our staff will process it as soon as possible and, if necessary, respond appropriately. We appreciate hearing from concerned citizens such as yourself. If you wish to keep abreast of the activities of this office, you may wish to consider a subscription to our electronic newsletter, Weekly Briefing, or perhaps our consumer alerts. Should you wish to subscribe to either or both publications, please click here.
Yeah, because that's a real consumer issue. I guess he did buy bullets, so I guess that's the consumer angle.
Skittles? Kind of like Arizona tea?
I guess it was like the Commerce Clause about the no guns in school law. I don't know. I've said this before, I'll say it again. Florida, make sure you don't end it with the letter A, but with UH, is a state where the further north you go, the more redneck the white population truly is. It's the only...
Well, that's why they refer to the western panhandle of Florida as Lower Alabama.
Yeah, and this was Central Florida, and, you know, let's just not forget that the Glenn Beck radio show, the political Glenn Beck radio show, got its start in the Tampa market, which means Orlando, chances are, was one of the first places that heard the Glenn Beck radio show. Now, there's no greater example of that crazy racism than Glenn Beck. I think that's all we really need to know right there about Florida. This is a state overrun by local native rednecks and crazy racist white northerners who migrated there so that they can, like lizards, bake in the sun. That's what Florida is. It's one of several states in this country that is a pure embarrassment. And Arizona is exactly the same way. You know, any of these states where these crazy old people go to migrate to die seems to be overloaded with crazy racism.
Yeah, what's the phrase they use for God's waiting room?
Yeah, and you know, and one last point I want to make about the law in Florida, the Stand Your Ground law, which I think is funny that someone over at the Liberal Gun Club's forum mentioned, is that in the state of Texas, he would have been in trouble for drawing his weapon out of the holster without a clear and present threat to his life being shown first. Now, how scary is that, the fact that Texas has a tougher law for the right to...
Well, but some of this...
Well known for a Yahoo attitude.
But Spike, some of this puts a highlight on the conduct of the police chief in this case.
Yeah.
Because remember, this guy refused to charge a lieutenant's son who kicked a black homeless man, just stomped him. Until the pressure became unbearable. And he had to actually do something. So you got that. And because, you know, the whole reason behind this noxious Stand Your Ground laws drafting the way it was drafted was to create these situations where a person who had gunned someone down could be let off the hook without the cops being able to bring charges, as long as he could claim, "I was in fear of my life." And the best way to claim you were in fear of your life is to have no witnesses except you and the dead person. So then, no charges.
Yeah. And this is, at least if nothing else, it's a violation, I would say, of the 14th Amendment amongst several. So, I mean, how this is just local matters beyond me, because this is a major civil rights violation.
Well, yeah, you know, and
memory crowd wanted that Zimmerman's constitutional rights. I think the victim has some more constitutional rights at stake that were totally violated.
Well, David in Tennessee noted that when I
the state of Florida,
when I mentioned that the White House had said this is a local issue, David in Tennessee wrote in and said, "You know what? Bobby Kennedy never would have said this is a local issue."
Yeah, I mean, there was due process to. There was nothing legal about what took place there. That was a man acting as his own self-appointed police force, and therefore he violated the victim's constitutional rights, I do believe. And I think, and they might be pressure that'll go against the Obama administration, because I know Al Sharpton is planning a demonstration in Florida over the matter. And he, let's be real, he was given a show on MSNBC after they gave the hook to Cenk Uygur because Cenk Uygur wasn't going to be a cheerleader for Obama like Al Sharpton. So now, if the Obama administration doesn't put their foot down and do something, they're going to have some trouble with one of their biggest cheerleaders at MSNBC.
No, because I don't necessarily think so, Spike. Because you can go down there and demand justice for Trayvon Martin and never mention the federal civil rights statutes. The fact that at this point in time, his mama just wants to see George Zimmerman charged under the state murder statute.
Yeah, well, if the state of Florida is not going to put their foot down, then the federal government should step in, and then they should be a case against the state of Florida, the governor, the state police, for refusing to actually do their job. I mean, and it's going to have to come down to that. I mean, it's wishful thinking, the hope that the local police department will do something. If the governor of Florida has already said he's doing jack, then what is the motivation for that little small town hillbilly police department to do anything? Nothing. And nothing's going to happen until the federal government steps in. And the whole reason we have the federal government is to stand up for the citizens, especially when their local governments will not do so. And we've had that numerous Supreme Court cases that have had to do that.
And consider how long it was. You know, there was a sham show trial after Emmett Till's murder, but it took 50 years to get a conviction.
Yeah.
So, Marty just writing in from the West Coast says, "Remember how George H.W. Bush White House handled the cops who beat Rodney King? That too was treated as a local issue."
Oh yeah, that was a complete and utter joke. And you know, you said, I guess I'll be a little rough with you here. You said earlier you won't play the 911 audio. But then you mentioned the open casket for Emmett Till. I really think if you want to have an open casket for this victim, you have to play the 911 tape.
Yeah,
I know it'll offend people. I know it'll make them sad. But the truth hurts, and that is the truth. Very few media outlets will really play that. CBS played it tonight in their national news, but I doubt they're going to keep playing it on a regular basis. I think people need to make that audio go viral. Maybe even just get the audio as an MP3 link for people to start putting all up their Facebook pages, their Twitter pages, and make it viral like that freaking Coney video. And then we'll see if the Department of Justice is going to sit back, twiddle their thumbs, stick them where the sun doesn't shine, and say, it's a local issue. Because that's what needs to happen if we want justice.
I will give you the absolute validity of your criticism.
And I just also like to say in closing, as a member of law enforcement, what the people in Florida in law enforcement are doing is a disgrace, and they should have to turn their badges in and never even collect a pension. You know, they're quick to take pensions away from members of law enforcement for little accidents where no one got hurt. That was just accidents. here's a case of lazy law enforcement, refusal to do their job, selective enforcement of doing their job, a violation of civil rights, a refusal to defend the Constitution, which we all take an oath to defend, and none of these backwoods Larry the Cable Guy dim-witted cocksuckers wants to do anything. And that is a disgrace to law enforcement, and those people should put their heads down and bow their heads down in shame. They are a disgrace to the profession, and just a pieces of crap who dare call themselves members of law enforcement, and yet they don't want to do their freaking job. That's all I have to say.
Well, you know what? You say it indeed very well, Spike, and like I said, criticism taken. I kind of assumed that everybody had heard that audio by now. But I think you have an incredibly valid point. Absolutely. So
and I'm sorry for some of the choice words, but that it really disgusts me that these people can call themselves law enforcement professionals and they refuse to do their jobs. Refuse to do their jobs. The right wingers like to say, well, in the private sector, you didn't do your job, you get fired. All these clowns should lose their jobs. Period. This is just a disgrace to the profession. And I bid everyone farewell before I say more obscene words.
Okay. You take care, Spike. I think he said it better than I did. Hey, welcome to the program.
Brother Bob.
Cossack.
You doing?
6 of one, half dozen of another. I'm not. I can't deal with this story rationally. I just can't.
I think your ire is misdirected, though. It should be at the sheriff or the chief of police, whichever, because the the law in Florida simply states you don't need to yield your ground. If you're being attacked, in other words, you have the right to shoot someone. You do not have the right to attack someone else, or as in this case, he was following him. This is a blatant.
He was stalking him.
Right. So he was not holding his ground. You're allowed to hold your ground. You're not allowed to hunt people down. This is what it comes down to. And he should be charged, arrested. At the very least, there should be an investigation into the matter. Why is there no inquiry? Why is there no...
These stand your ground laws are deliberately drafted as vaguely as they are precisely, and lead precisely to this end, Cossack. They are horrible, horrible laws. And if you were to go back and find, for instance, the transcript of debate, I assume the Florida legislature does that kind of thing, you would find that, in fact, these sorts of scenarios were predicted by the bill's opponents.
Oh, yeah.
Because the people who carry guns think like this.
Well, I don't know, Bob.
They've got that patriot fantasy. In this particular case, this Zimmerman goon, the homeowners association wanted a neighborhood watch, and he was the only one who stepped up. When there's one guy who stepped at that point, since the association wanted it, at that point, didn't that trigger a duty on the part of the neighborhood association vet this character?
Yeah.
You know, the chief of police said, well, spotless record. I didn't see no reason to detain him. Well, he didn't have a spotless record.
Of course.
He had avoided prosecution under a charge of battery on a police officer via pretrial diversion.
Yeah.
He attacked a cop when a cop was lawfully arresting his pal. You know, that shows that the guy's not screwed down. Because you don't attack cops.
No, no.
It's a great way to get dead.
Yeah. Well, more is to pity.
But no, if you go and you read, I mean, the law is, the point is, the law is not clear. It leaves as a great big gray area whether or not you have the right to act. In a case a couple of years ago in Florida over this very statute, Cossack, a guy was walking on the sidewalk or some such when a Jeep with some heathens in it tried to run him down or something. I forget the exact fact pattern, but he then pulled out his peacemaker and put some rounds into the vehicle and then went up beside the vehicle and shot him some more. The jury said not guilty. But he at least was subjected to a jury's inquiry.
Correct. That's what I'm saying. At the very least, we need that here. The very least. Now, I'm not prejudging the case or anything, but there's certainly more than enough evidence that this was not a clean shooting.
No, it wasn't. But
yeah.
Stand and blaze rule laws seldom are. The guy should be charged, and everything that would and everything that has come out should go in, should somehow or another be made admissible in court. You know, when the 911 dispatch says, "Are you following him?" and he says, "Yes." And the dispatcher says, "Okay, we need for you not to do that. Cops are on the way."
Mm-hmm.
And this kid was inside of his home.
Yeah.
There's a little kid out there who saw it go down, who is now having trouble in school, can't sleep, you know, everything, who is tormenting himself over whether or not he could have saved his friend's life. This is a little boy who at 9 years of age dragged his father out of a burning house and saved his life. The errand had been run to the 7-Eleven to get something for his little brother.
Well, like I'm saying, there's not, I don't know, I've mentioned it before, Bob. I'm not what you would say unarmed.
Nor am I.
And with damn good reason.
You know, Mark, who also happens to live in Florida, as you do, says, "You cannot interrupt a pedestrian walking legally down a street and then claim you were threatened. Zimmerman placed himself in this predicament." But because he was armed, and because of that stand your ground law, it created a sense of privilege and entitlement. And it's bad enough when the cops go nuts.
Correct.
It is worse when private citizens do.
Right.
I mean, there are stories out there now saying that the leader of a black militia wants to arrest and try George Zimmerman.
That'd be nice.
This is a complete abdication of what it means to live in a civil society made up of laws and not of persons.
Correct.
Well,
it's another one of the signposts to a place that we don't want America to go.
It's there.
You know, I asked true most conflicted people in the United States now are the Klan. Because the Klan, the white supremacists, and the skinheads are probably all celebrating, but look over there, and there's George Zimmerman, who ain't exactly white. And they find themselves in the uncomfortable predicament of defending him. Ew. But the overarching principle, Kasak, is that we have reached some sort of sick tacit agreement in this country that we will have these. Again and again and again and again, because we are absolutely obsessed with our firearms.
Well,
I mean, forgotten in this case, because it is so horrifying, is one that we focused on on this show a couple of weeks ago. Remember the security guard who was hired to provide security to the House of Christ?
Oh, yeah.
The Prince of Peace? And he was showing his peacemaker, other person, in a room inside Jesus. Just happened to through bullet went through a wall and eliminated from this planet the lovely interior doctor.
Well,
also Florida. Also a man who will not be charged.
No, at the very least, they need to...
Not even with negligent homicide. You know,
yeah.
Manslaughter.
That's what it is, at the very least.
Not in Florida.
And also, you know, you're blatantly mishandling your weapon. If it accidentally goes off, there is no accidentally goes off. I mean, this is a firearm. You are to be in control of it at all times.
And the security guard in that case had the clip out and it fired anyway. But he didn't think about the one in the chamber. The security guard. What the hell does it take to be a security guard in Florida, Cossack?
Not much.
I mean, you apparently don't even have to have two IQ points to rub together.
I don't think so. I mean, you always drop the clip, but then you rack the slide. Also, just for that reason, Bob, you've got weapons, for Christ's sake. You've handled weapons.
Yes.
Would I ever
carry a firearm into the house of Almighty God?
Well, that's another question, obviously.
And I don't even like churches. You remember the end of Beneath the Planet of the Apes?
Mm-hmm.
When he caught them worshiping the nuclear missile?
Yeah.
That's America's gun culture.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I was tweeting about this yesterday, I guess it was, and some right-winger said, "Go to hell, you effing idiot," or some such as that.
Yeah.
And said, "Well, Wills," and I said, "You know, great debate. Did you learn that before or after you quit third grade, Jethro?" And he said, "We'll save this debate for when you come for our guns." And I said, "Listen, Buster, when we come for your guns, we're bringing tanks, armored cars, tear gas, machine guns, rocket-propelled grenades, snipers, helicopters. You and your blue steel penis extension aren't going to get much done." But we're not. Nobody's coming for their guns. But that's their level of paranoia. And they are so intellectually weak. They can't even contemplate the possibility that they might have just a few drops of Trayvon Martin's blood on their hands.
I mean,
as a handgun owner, I know I've got drops on mine, and it makes me sick.
You know, it's like my brother was involved in the shooting. But it was kind of justified. The son of a bitch broke pool cue over the back of his head. And my brother was very meticulous. Very good shot placement. Right through all three legs.
Ouch.
Yeah.
Well, you know, 6 months, yeah. 1 month. 3 months, week and a half, we'll get to do this again, I guess. And that's the part that makes me sickest. But at any rate, I got to hit it, but you have a good evening, Cossack. I appreciate the call. Take care.
All right, Bob. Take care.
Bye now.
Bye.
It's about 12 minutes before the hour. Andy writing in, he says, Spike says a lot, right on. It's like Florida's gone back to the pre-Civil Rights era, before the Civil Rights Act. Spike said it better than Ray Lewis, ex-Philadelphia police captain and Occupy advocate, would have said it. Right on. We need a thorough forensic investigation and scientific scrutiny of the sound on the tapes. And speaking of the tapes, I will heed Spike's advice. If you want to record this, pull this out of the podcast or whatever, feel free to do so. But this is the audio. Hang on, what's going on here? Okay. Hang on a minute, I've got a problem.
There could have been somebody in the front in a car. I don't know, but because I was in the back here, I did not hear any kind of vehicle, no.
And what was your name?
My name. Well, that was scary, but...
Okay, I got it straightened out now. Here we go. I'm going to create a couple of seconds of silence, and then you'll hear the audio.
It's Retrieve View Circle. The best address I can give you is 111 Retrieve View Circle. This guy looks like he's up to no good, or he's on drugs or something. It's raining, and he's just walking around looking about.
Okay, and this guy, is he white, black, or Hispanic?
He looks black.
Did you see what he was wearing?
Yeah, a dark hoodie, like a gray hoodie, and either jeans or sweatpants and white tennis shoes. He's here now. He was just staring.
Oh, he's just walking around the area?
Looking at all the houses.
Okay.
Now he's just staring at me.
Okay. He said it's 1111 Retrieve View or 111?
That's the clubhouse.
That's the clubhouse. Do you know what he's near the clubhouse right now?
Yeah, now he's coming towards me.
Okay.
He's got his hand in his waistband. And he's a black male.
Okay. How old would you say he'd look?
He's got a button on his shirt. Late teens.
Late teens, okay.
Mm-hmm. Something's wrong with him. Yep. He's coming to check me out. He's got something in his hands. I don't know what his deal is.
Okay, just let me know if he does anything, okay?
Officer over here.
Yeah, we got him on the way. Just let me know if this guy does anything else.
Okay. These assholes, they always get away. Yeah. When you come to the clubhouse, you come straight in and make a left. Actually, you would go past the clubhouse.
Okay, it says on the left-hand side from the clubhouse?
No, you go in straight through the entrance, and then you make a left. You go straight in, don't turn and make a left. Shit, he's running.
He's running? Which way is he running?
Down towards the other entrance of the neighborhood.
Okay, which entrance is that he's heading towards?
The back entrance.
Are you following him?
Yeah.
Okay, we don't need you to do that.
Okay.
All right, sir, what is your name?
George. He ran.
All right, George, what's your last name?
He's Mormon.
And, George, what's the phone number you're calling from?
407-435-2400.
All right, George, we do have him on the way. Do you want to meet with the officer when they get out there?
Yeah.
All right, where are you going to meet with them at?
If they come in through the gate, tell them to go straight past the clubhouse and straight past the clubhouse and make a left, and then they go past the mailboxes. You'll see my truck.
Okay, what address are you parked in front of?
I don't know. It's a cut through, so I don't know the address.
Okay, do you live in the area?
Yeah.
What's your apartment number?
It's a home. It's 1950. Oh, crap. I don't want to give it all out. I don't know where this kid is.
Okay, do you want to just be with him right near the mailboxes, then?
Yeah, that's fine.
All right, George, I'll let him know to meet you with you out there, okay?
Actually, could you have him call me, and I'll tell him where I'm at?
Okay, yeah, that's no problem.
You need my number, or you got it?
Yeah, I got it. It's 407-435-2400.
Yeah, you got it.
Okay, no problem. I'll let him know to call you when they're in the area.
Thanks.
You're welcome.
Do you need police, fire, or medical?
Police, I just heard a shot right behind my house.
Where at?
They're wrestling right in the back of my porch.
You just heard one shot go off?
Hey, it was either that or a rock at the window or something. I don't know. The guy's yelling help, and I'm not going outside.
Okay.
Stanford, Florida.
Is that one or two words? Because it's not accepting it. Okay, and you can hear somebody yelling for help?
I'm pretty sure the guy's dead out here. Holy shit.
Okay, we have several people calling in also. Anything else that you heard?
No. Guy yelling help. Oh, my God. No. There's a guy with a flashlight in the backyard now.
Okay.
I think there's flashlights and there's a guy.
Okay.
I don't know if that's a cop. Oh, my God.
Okay, you have several calls. And you just heard, you sure? Did you hear when you heard voices? It was just one person talking, right?
There's two guys. There's two guys in the backyard with flashlights.
Okay.
And there's a black guy down that looks like he's been shot and he's dead.
Yes. Okay.
He's laying, and there's multiple people calling right now, I'm thinking.
Okay. I have several officers going out there, okay?
Okay, thank you.
Thank you, bye-bye.
All right.
911, do you need police, fire, medical?
Maybe both, I'm not sure. There's just someone screaming outside.
Okay, what's the address that they're near?
10.
Okay. And is it a male or a female?
It sounds like a male.
And you don't know why?
I don't know why. I think they're yelling help, but I don't know. Just send someone quick. Say, stop.
Okay. Does he look hurt to you?
I can't see him. I don't want to go out there. I don't know what's going on. So they're sending.
So you think he's yelling help?
Yes.
All right, what is your number?
There's gunshots.
You just heard gunshots?
Yes.
How many?
This one. Jimmy, get down. No, come here.
Is he no longer yelling?
No one, I don't know. Jeremy, get in here now. Jeremy, get up here.
All right, is he right outside?
Yeah, pretty much out the back, yeah.
Is he in front of it or behind that address?
He's behind.
Okay, we have several people.
Looks like he's been shot and he's dead.
They're sending.
911, do you need police, fire, medical?
Maybe both. I'm not sure. There's just someone screaming outside.
Okay, what's the address that they're near? Okay. And is it a male or female?
It sounds like a male.
And you don't know why?
I don't know why. I think they're yelling help, but I don't know. Just send someone quick. Say stop.
Does he look hurt to you?
I can't see him. I don't want to go out there. I don't know what's going on. So they're sending.
So you think he's yelling help?
Yes.
All right, what is your number?
There's gunshots.
That's it. Help. That is the sound of a little human being begging for his life. That's no grown man. Jesus. Told you I couldn't. Funny that the guy was their neighborhood watch captain, but no one recognized him. And no one wanted to go out and help the little boy screaming for his life with a gun-toting monster drawing down. No closing credits, no music. Good night.
Cussing with America's only born and bred Southern liberal talk host. Head On with Bob Kincaid is brought to you each night by Coal River Mountain Watch. Coal River Mountain Watch invites you to become part of the solution, part of a sustainable future, part of the uprising against mountaintop removal. Coal River Mountain Watch, CRMW.net. And now, from high in the hills of beautiful West Bicod, Virginia, here's Bob Kincaid on the Head On Radio Network.
Well, howdy! A little more than a minute past the hour, and we begin a brand new broadcast week here on the Horn, the Head On Radio Network. Conversation Radio. I'm Bob Kincaid. And happy to be here for a full week of uninterrupted broadcasting, that is. Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, and Friday from 6 to 9 p.m. because that's followed with a program note. We will be on the road starting Sunday. Sunday, I'm driving back to Washington, D.C. I've pretty much memorized the route by now. I can leave the Rand McNally Atlas here at the mansion for a broadcast, a very special couple of days of broadcasting from Capitol Hill, its very own self. We'll be broadcasting from an area right next door to the Supreme Court of the United States, where there will be arguments held on the fate of the Affordable Care Act, which I would very much like to have pass so that maybe in a year or so I can actually have some health care coverage. Wouldn't that be cool? I think it'd just be awesome. So that's where we'll be Monday and Tuesday of next week. The fine folks at Families USA are graciously bringing a number of progressive or liberal or however we refer to ourselves, talkers together. And we will have the whole thing will be geared toward helping people understand why this thing needs to pass. And it does. I know a lot of people don't like the mandate, but the fact of the matter is the mandate is going to touch very few people as it is. And it's not like there's not a historical precedent for having it in the first place. Going as far back as the earliest days of the United States, when there was a federal mandate that all males own a gun, and some gunpowder and some bullets, right? Yeah, but never mind. That's history, and we know that the right wing and the little conserva creeps, and so that, you know, they don't do that whole history thing because it's not convenient to them, unless they can point to, oh, I don't know, Thomas Jefferson reading the Bible upside down, whatever. But that's where I'll be. And then I've got some work to do on Wednesday and Thursday, likely, so I'll be home Friday, and hopefully we'll have a show on Friday, although it may be one of those where I was a little bit exhausted, such as the one that we had this past Thursday when I jumped into the chair the minute I got through the door. It's just how it works out. I mean, it's a 360-mile drive, and then things is a tad tiresome. Just are. So that's the coming schedule. And by the way, this Saturday, the 24th, from 3 to 5 p.m., there will also be an American History Chat with Dr. Bill and Professor Keith Lilly live on the horn. Check that out, because that's the only way to know when the right-wingers are lying about history, talking about Thomas Jefferson being a devout Christian who praised the baby Jesus. And that's the only way you're going to know. When they're making it up as they go along, as if you know the real deal first. 3 to 5 p.m. this coming Saturday. So, Marty, no. I mean, he's got a learner's permit, but shut up. Isn't Ferg old enough to drive yet? What do you want, more stress in my life? Okay, I understand. You're out on the left coast, and you've got crazy highways out there. You've got a lot of them. You want to turn a 15-year-old loose on them? Then damn semis on I-81 north or southbound would eat him for lunch, and me in the process as a snack. You get the idea. Yeah, I know. But no, we were learning to drive slowly but surely. We are. It's just gonna take a while. But that's the program schedule for the next couple of weeks. But, you know, at least on Monday and Tuesday, there will be real live, honest-to-goodness, no-kidding broadcasting going on. It's not just like I'm going to be gone for a whole week and, you know, not heard from. So, make a note of it. And then things have been so busy around here, I scarcely know if I don't even know if I know what the first week of April broadcast schedule looks like, so we'll just I get it, Marty, I get it, but come on. 15 years old on an interstate in America. It's not 1978 anymore. But so we'll be
you know, if I'm going to be in D.C., I may as well get some work done for the 8 campaign. You can't waste those kind of opportunities. And somewhere in the near future, a rather large and momentous announcement will be coming, and you'll be among the first to hear about it when it does happen, work having been done by the Appalachian Community Health Emergency Campaign. Just can't happen. Can't tell you yet. Sorry. So there is a ton to go into today. Before we do, with it being a new week, let's do the, do a couple of things here and get them mentioned. We have, insofar as my being away sort of makes me unable to do the daily reminder of the fact that it takes money to keep the bills paid around here. It means that fundraising is down for the month, but it'll be okay because we have on the table, and you can pick whichever one you want to participate in, and I encourage you to participate in one or the other of them. We have two, count them, two challenges on the table today. We have, on the one hand, our buddy Dr. John in New York. We have Dr. John's $50 challenge. And on the other hand, and perhaps we could differentiate this, our good friend Robert, Phase 5 from the chat room, says, time for the Australian $50 challenge, otherwise known as the up over $50 challenge. You know, since we call them down under, we're up over. The up over $50 challenge, if listeners donate $50, I'll match it with $50. So, and he notes, and that'll help with the Beat the Swede challenge as well. See, exactly. See, Robert understands it. This all sort of works together. To go in, and in fact, I need to send a radio memo out in coded horn language to our good buddy Scott in Sweden, the originator of the Beat the Swede Challenge. Here's the coded message. Thank you, Scott. The Beat the Swede Challenge arrived, and we really, really appreciate it. We do. That'll probably keep Agent Fred down in the bowels of the NSA. Working at his ciphering machine, his Uniblab 10,000 for weeks on end. But thank you. Thank you very kindly, Scott. So all of this works together. So we need 10 people tonight at $10 a piece who will effectively double their money via the Dr. John in New York challenge or the Robert up over $50 challenge from Australia. And that'll get us a little closer to where we ought to be, because we're a long way from it at this point in time. So those two challenges are on the table for the remainder of the broadcast, or however long it takes to reach them, which I hope will not be very long. It's going to be a busy little program this evening, I get a sense. There's some heavy-duty, very serious stuff to go into, but we may as well have a little bit of a lark, at least, before all that happens, because, well, just like so many days of the week, Monday occupies a particularly special position here on the horn. Yes, it does. That's right. Hurry, hurry, hurry. Step right up. You will be amazed. You will be surprised. You may be horrified. You may be sickened. It is Moran Monday on the horn. Step right up and get your program. This is the program that tells the Morans you just can't tell them much. Right here, behind this thin cybernetic veil of cybernetic canvas, reside weirdos, freaks, rapists, degenerates, bizarros, Morans. Did I mention idiots? All of the right-wing conservative variety. Because there's lots of them. It is Moran Monday on the horn. Women are advised to hold tight to their purses. Men, to button the extra button on their wallet pants pocket. Children should not be brought into the Moran Monday tent for fear of permanent scarring of the mental variety. Head for the hills or you'll be up to your armpits in Morans. It is Moran Monday on the horn. I kid you not. And, well, I had a couple of nominees. A couple of nominees easy. And then earlier today I tweeted that what my couple of nominees were, you know, Windmill Trump and Sticker Lady. More on them later. I said, those are my nominees. What are yours? And lo and behold, there was our buddy Isaac, who just put it out of the park.